We are celebrating Baptist Women's Day. If you are visiting with us, welcome. We ask that you complete the visitor card in the pew rack in front of you and place it in the offering plate when it's passed later in the service. Please look in your bulletin for upcoming dates and ways to be involved in the church's activities. I will bring to your attention that we have the men's prayer breakfast this Saturday, and next Sunday is the CUOC collection. The beautiful flowers you see here are in honor of Miss Violet's birthday, given by her daughters. Please extend a special birthday wish to Miss Violet after the service. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come worship and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray that you will be a part of this service as we honor the women's role in your ministry. May we be godly women that honor you today and throughout the week. In your most precious name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. This year's Baptist Woman of the Year joined Trammell Baptist Church along with her spouse on November the 14th of 2012. Not only is she a wife, mother, and grandmother, she is a follower of Christ. She is dedicated to her family and her Bible. She knows no stranger and can strike up a conversation as if she knew you for a long time. She has served in our church in so many different ways. A few are VBS, the youth, nursery, Sunday school, and so much more. Children are her passion, and she continues working with them today. Even after retiring from teaching, she teaches Sunday school and children's church. Please stand and help us congratulate Lynn McFarland as Baptist Women of the Year for 2020.
Wasn't expecting this, but I appreciate the honor. But my reward will mainly be though the one I get in heaven, because that's the best reward ever. But thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Now that you just sat down, let's stand and sing Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, number 61. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth verses.
May we pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, we gather today in this place to worship and praise you, thanking you, Lord, for all the undeserving numerous blessings you give us daily. At this time, we ask you to bless this offering and the giver. May these tithes and offerings be used to glorify you and you only. In your name we pray. Amen.
My never before. Good morning. Good to be in the house of God, ain't it? Wouldn't be nowhere else. Today's song is dedicated to Miss Judy Butler. She called me probably a couple months ago and asked me to sing this song. The name of it is Trust His Heart. And some of the words in the song say that we have struggles that break our hearts, sometimes blind us to the truth, but our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just don't see Him, remember you're never alone. He's with us no matter what we do through our struggles, and thank God we have Him. I think about that He is our shepherd, and our shepherd loves His sheep, don't He? And in John 14 and 16 it says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. We're never alone. His love is never ending. And Judy Butler, you've been an inspiration to so many. And thank you for all you've done for our church, for us. She's always the one ready to praise the Lord. So this is dedicated to Judy and to anyone else that it would fit to. Thank you. All things work for our good, though sometimes we don't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just don't see Him, remember you're never alone. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. Trust His heart. He sees the master plan, and He holds the future in His hand. So don't live as those with no hope. hope is found in Him. We see the present clearly, but He sees the first and the last. And like a tapestry, He's weaving you and me to someday be just like Him. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. He alone is faithful and true. He alone knows what's best for you. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. When you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. Trust His heart.
Our guest speaker today is Miss Leanne Thomas of Sanford. Leanne loves being within the adventures of being on mission for her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She is thankful to serve Him through her roles as wife to one amazing husband, mom to three precious daughters, and Grammy to six balls of never-ending energy. The Lord has also called her to the ministry of writing and speaking. She is the author of four books, including Smack Dab in the Midlife Zone, Inspiration for Women in the Middle. She and her husband, Roy, are active in the ministries of Cool Springs Baptist Church here in Sanford. Ms. Thomas, thank you for sharing with us today what God's laid on your heart.
Good morning. Ooh, this mic is good, Larry. Awesome. It's good. Thank you so much for having me here today. And while I'm in this moment, thank you for that beautiful solo. Trust His heart. Where did she go, the one who just sang? There you are. God has used that song in my life so many times. For the first time as a very young wife and mother, and we lost a little one, and God brought that song to my life, and I played it over and over and over, and every difficult season since. I'm not going to be able to look at you, honey, today if you do that. Every difficult season since, that is one of the songs. Another one, if you need another power song that is really ministered to your soul, is it's an oldie goldie too. He used to sing Raindrops Keep Falling on Your Head. Somebody help me. Anyway, the song is He's Got It All in Control. And I love that song. But those two are my go-tos. But thank you so much for inviting me to be part of your worship today. It's so good to see a couple of familiar faces. And I had the privilege and honor of working with Shirley at Lee Christian for a few years, and those are sweet, precious memories. I'm so grateful for that. I'm also thankful today that my sweetheart is with me. In January, we celebrated 38 years together. We dated for 3 months, and it's lasted 38 years, so I think it's done well. But it's a special treat for him to be able to join me today. Now, when Rachel called, I was honored. I was also very curious, who are the body of believers known as Tramway Baptist? I knew you would be a place of love and warmth simply from knowing Shirley, but I did want to know a little more about you. So I went to the website. Aren't you thankful for websites these days? And I was immediately struck by your mission statement. A community of believers growing in Christ, making known the transforming power of his love. Community of believers, that shows your bond. Growing in Christ, that's your discipleship. Making known the transforming power of his love, that's your missions and ministry. What a beautiful statement of who you are in Christ. Thank you for this testimony. Thank you for your light and your witness in this community. It is so encouraging to know that Tramway Baptist and Cool Springs Baptist and all the other Christ-centered churches in our community and in our nation and our world, that we're walking together, journeying together in the faith and being warriors and partners in the gospel. So I'm just very thankful for that. Now, we all know that living for Christ in a broken world is tough. It's just difficult. And living in a pandemic has not made it any easier, has it? It just can be brutal and heartbreaking. So today, I'd like for us to huddle up in some of my phys ed classes at Lee Christian. I wanted to make sure our class was on the same page and we were in unity over something. I'd say, come on, girls, huddle up. So let's circle up and huddle up around the Word of God this morning and draw refreshment and encouragement and strength from God's Word and each other so that we can continue in our calling of being salt and light in this hurting world. Now, this refreshment from God's Word will come through three simple reminders. I know you know these things, but sometimes I know in my own life, when I'm going through a difficult season, the Holy Spirit brings me back to the basics, to what I know to be true, how he is working always and how he is our anchor in the storms of life. So our first reminder, we are image bearers of the one true God. So how do we know for sure? We're going to look at Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Okay, we're familiar with that scripture. But why is it important? Because this tells us that our worth and our value is rooted in Christ, not in what other people think, not in what we see in other people's eyes, not in the stuff we own, the games we win, or the clothes we wear, or the likes on social media, but in the knowledge that we are made in the image of the Creator of the universe. There's a great quote that I love by C.S. Lewis. He wrote, there are no ordinary people. You have never met a mere mortal. Think about that. Every single person in this sanctuary, every man, woman, and child on the face of this earth is somebody with unique potential, simply because they are image bearers of the Most High God. Everyone is destined for eternity, either in the presence of God or forever cut off from Him. But once again, why does knowing this make a difference? Why does it matter? Well, for one, it lays a foundation of confidence in who we are. If we have accepted Christ in our lives, we are beloved children of the King of Kings. Isn't that amazing? We belong to the King of Kings. And that frees us to live with joy and with purpose. We don't have to stress about finding our worth in the dead-end world of people-pleasing, because we know that's exhausting. And we will never win at that game, will we, trying to please people? It also helps us to see those around us as unique individuals created in God's image. And it can make us more patient and compassionate with each other. Okay, here's your assignment. Sorry, is the teaching coming out? Think about that moment. Don't say anything. But think just a moment about that person that drives you crazy. Seriously, they get on your very last nerve. The last thing you want to do is to spend extended time with this particular person. Okay, quit looking at your spouses. Whoever they are, they just bring out the absolute worst. Now, keeping in mind what God's Word says about our worth and our value, try to see this person with a new pair of glasses, a different perspective. John 5:24 says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." Okay, so according to what Jesus is saying here, there are just two kinds of people in this world, those walking in death, those walking in life, those under judgment, and those under grace. The person next to us at any given time, whether in the workplace, in the grocery store, in traffic, in church, in our neighborhood, whoever's next to us at any given time, they are either a brother and sister in Christ, or they are in desperate need of a Savior. Either way, they need our fervent prayers and our compassion. Which brings us to reminder number two. Not only are we image bearers, but we are unconditionally loved by the one true God. Let's check out Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." When did God show his love? After we got our act together? After we proved ourselves worthy? After we washed our face and put on our Sunday finery? No. While we were still sinners. Talk about crazy love. That is insane, crazy love. Unconditional. We don't have to perform or to jump through hoops to keep God's favor. He loves us in our messiness. Aren't you glad? Oh my goodness, I'm so glad. Romans 8:38-39. This should be printed on the wall of every home. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." When we grab hold of this, that we are crazy loved by an amazing God, we are then able to do a few things. We're able to live with courage and boldness. We'll have the strength to love others, whether they're annoying or not. And we are inspired to use our uniqueness for his glory. We're moving right along. Reminder number 3. I get real excited because the adventure really starts escalating for number 3. We are uniquely wired to serve him. Check out Ephesians 2:10. And may I just say that I love Ephesians 2:10. If the Romans verses should be on the wall, Ephesians 2:10 should be on every wall and written on our hearts. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's just pause and soak that in. Ephesians 2:10. This verse, it has our worth, our value, and our purpose all packed into one beautiful place. Is that not the coolest thing ever? We are God's handiwork. Other translations say workmanship or masterpiece. That's how much you're worth. That's how much your Creator values you. You're his handiwork. You know, our sweet grandbabies, in the next few weeks, they're going to see it'll be 8, 7, 6, 5, 11 months, 8 months. Yeah, holidays are crazy, but they're wonderful. And when they come to me and they present their drawings, their creative selves to me, I look at it, and you know, you might look at it and you'd go, huh, that's a little odd. But when I look at that, it means the world to me because of who created it. You mean the world to your Heavenly Father because he created you to be you. So this is the great adventure. When we stand on the unshakable foundation of I am an image bearer and I am loved unconditionally, we then have the opportunity and the freedom to serve the King of Kings with our uniqueness. Thankfully, God didn't design a bunch of drones for us to look, act, and serve in the same way. He created each of us to glorify him with distinction. Raise your hand if you are familiar with Eric Liddell's claim to fame. You may have heard his name pronounced Eric Liddell. They made a movie about him years ago called Chariots of Fire. Okay. He was a Christian missionary and also a Scottish Olympic gold medalist. Haven't you enjoyed the Olympics? I love seeing people go for the gold or the silver or the bronze. But his best event was the 100 meters. But he refused to run in this event because it was being held on a Sunday and he wanted to honor his Lord. He did run and win the 400 meters because it was held during the week. He honored God with his life and with the way he ran. Listen to this quote by Eric Liddell. God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. Did you know you could honor God by the way you run? How cool is that? Eric Liddell was uniquely wired to run fast, and he used this ability for the glory of God. Now, is he the only one that's ever done that? Of course not. We can glorify God in so many ways. Think of the ways that Tim Tebow has glorified God with his athletic ability. And most recently, I've seen several interviews where Cooper Kupp for the Rams, the wide receiver, every time he gives an interview, after winning the Super Bowl and before, he glorifies God. He said he knew at a young age that he was meant to glorify God with his athletic ability. Isn't that wonderful? So here's the million-dollar question. How are you wired? What is it that makes you feel most alive? When do you feel God's pleasure moving through you? Do you feel your God-given uniqueness on the basketball court or the soccer field? Does your heart race as you solve difficult math problems? Are you drawn to creative writing or drama or baseball, or construction, or design? Do you feel God's pleasure as you swing a hammer, or study a foreign language, or listen with empathy to someone's hurting heart? Is your home a place of light and warmth, and people just know they are welcome there? Are you drawn to leadership positions or teaching and helping others understand really difficult concepts? Are you able to inspire others with your vision and your passion? How did God design you to be you? God has incredible plans and purpose for each of us. Plans for us to feel His pleasure as we serve Him. My prayer for us today is for us to know beyond all doubt that we are precious, valued, image bearers of the Most High God, and that we are loved beyond measure. He's inviting us, each of us, to be a part of what He's already doing in this broken world. What a privilege, and what a crazy fun adventure. I'd like to close with a short monologue that shows why it's so important for God's warriors to stay refreshed and ready for service. It's called, "Okay, Lord, I'll Follow." Oh, Lord, I love our time together. Your word is just becoming more and more precious to me. Well, like this, for instance, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Oh. Do I trust you? Oh, yes, Lord, with my whole heart, with my entire being. In fact, I would climb the highest mountain, swim the deepest ocean. It's just so hard to contain how I feel about you. Do what, Lord? Keep reading? Oh, okay. What would you like me to read? Start at Romans 10:14. Oh, okay. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Oh, that is great, Lord. You know, you have quite a way with words. Acts 1:8. Oh, okay. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's a good one, too. How about something in the Psalms, Lord? You know, like, make a joyful noise or clap your hands, all ye nations. Matthew 28:19. All right. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Lord, we seem to be getting into kind of a rut here. How about Proverbs? Yeah, I know you and Solomon put quite a lot of time into those little tidbits of wisdom. Keep reading. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So, what are you saying exactly? Read it again. But Lord, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Well, now, wait a minute. Am I to understand that you want me to go out there? Sure, Lord, I'll go. Right after you and I devour the scriptures together, cover to cover, start to finish, Genesis to Revelation. Now. You want me to go now? But Lord, we're having such fun together. Okay. But Lord, do you have any idea what it's like out there? I mean, the world can be brutal. It's full of sorrow, despair, pain, loneliness. And there's not always a warm welcome for those bearing the good news. Oh, what am I saying? Of course you know that. Look, it's just that the human race is doing a pretty good job of destroying itself. And Lord, I hate to tell you this, but there are those out there who are not following you. In fact, there are some who don't even know you exist. And that's why I need to go. Okay, Lord, but will you go with me? Oh, you're going ahead of me. Okay, Lord. Okay. I'll follow.
Thank you, Ms. Thomas, for coming and being our speaker for Baptist Women's Sunday. She was kind of nice. She wanted to give y'all some refreshment and refill your battery before she dropped the hammer on you and gave you the challenge. The reason that we come and study the Word and spend time together in fellowship as believers is so that we can then go and share the gospel like she just talked about. So this morning, if you're like me, you know, I was listening to her talk and I thought, gosh, you know, some of us, we keep recharging our battery, but we're not going and doing anything with that extra energy, that extra juice. So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think maybe the challenge that she's given us is don't just come to church on Sunday morning and get refreshment. Go outside and do what you're supposed to be doing. Is that okay? She's saying that's okay. So in just a second, Sherry and Patsy are going to do an invitational hymn for us. If the Lord's been working on you or challenging you or convicting you, you can come and pray, or if you'd like to talk with somebody because you don't know this Lord that she's just been talking about, I'd love to talk with you about that.
Mm-hmm.